You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And it's a new day if you want it to be. Hi, I'm Rhett Palmer. Joey Caffeo is my guest, and he was formerly homeless. He was a criminal. He's young. He's in his very early 30s. Great to have you here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Rhett?
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. 3 short years ago, your life was radically changed.
Yes, sir.
And I guess first, before we tell the conversion story, let's go back to Joey's beginnings. Where are you from?
I'm from Pittsburgh.
Okay. And how did you end up in Vero Beach, Florida, or is that after the story?
Well, my dad was a paint contractor, and so in the early 2000s, he got a bunch of jobs with the condominiums in, like, the Ponce Inlet area. And so we moved down from Pittsburgh just for his work. Lived in a really high-scale million-dollar condo on the beach, so I lived a pretty affluent life for a little bit. And then my parents got a divorce, and then when we were looking to relocate, we ended up in Sebastian.
Oh, in Sebastian, okay. So when did your criminal life start?
My criminal life didn't start until after I graduated college. So I went through high school. I was in band, and I did leadership, and I took it really seriously, so much that I wanted to be a band director.
Really? Mm-hmm. What was your instrument?
French horn.
French horn.
Yeah, but the whole time I played drums. I played drums in rock bands and guitar. And so, I mean, I was no stranger to, you know, drinking when I was a little too young or you know, smoking some weed. But I was still a good kid. I still had straight A's.
This straightens it up, because I tell everybody, this kid, you're a kid to me because I'm 70, 32 years of age, but I said, you look like the all-American good boy.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, I think I kind of did, even through high school and college. I always had great relationships with my professors, and I had a good friend group, and we all did well with our schooling and you know, worked hard.
You were just a little naughty. You liked to drink. You wanted to have fun,
right.
Teenage boys.
There was a dark side, to everything. And unfortunately, as I got older, it got a little bit darker. And some of that came out of the fact that after I graduated from Florida State with a bachelor's degree in music education, I decided to pursue French horn playing because I was getting pretty good. So I actually traveled to Switzerland.
Yeah.
To do a master's degree with an American professor that was over there at a conservatory in Lugano, Switzerland. So I put all my ducks in the row and managed to get over there.
You know, and you're studying with a professor about what?
Orchestral French horn playing.
Cool.
Yeah, so I mean, I was
You were really dedicated.
Yeah, I was all in. So,
well, no wonder now you've been suddenly exalted. Within 3 years of being born again, you're one of the part of the worship team.
Yeah, I'm a music director.
A music director.
Complete restoration. That's the amazing
complete
thing.
Restoration. Yeah. Out at Oceans Unite.
Yes, sir.
Very, very popular church, growing exponentially.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later. But so, okay, so you go out, you go to Switzerland.
So I go to Switzerland. I'm playing, but about 6 months in, I hit a wall, and all of a sudden my jaw starts acting up, and I can't play the way I need to. So like I'm practicing for an hour at a time, and I have complete fatigue, you know, in the muscles in my face. So I don't know what's going on exactly. I'm in a foreign country. I don't have insurance over there. I don't have a lot of money at all. I barely had enough money to get over there, and I'm scraping by.
How are you scraping by? Is somebody sending you money? Are you working little jobs?
Okay. So my mom did everything
the mom.
She could. My mom and my stepdad did did everything they could to get me there and to make sure that I had enough to survive. But I mean, I was just buying just enough to eat. I mean, I was losing weight. I mean, it was a struggle.
I remember being in Zimbabwe, Africa, and I lived for quite a long time just on peanut butter and jelly and Ritz crackers, kind of crackers.
Over there, it was just all pasta. You know, you ate was pasta. So it was a struggle, but so anyway, I hit like a 6 month mark, and I was at the end of the first semester, and I was faced with a decision. Like, I got to go home. I got to just go back to America and figure out what's going on with my job, because the whole reason I'm over there is to play French horn.
And now you can't play French horn.
And I can't play French horn.
Wow.
So, you know, I always say it's kind of like a football player getting injured. I mean, my career as and I put all my chips, all my cards on the table.
How many years have you been playing French horn by this time? 10? 9?
Yeah, probably about 10 years.
For a young person, too, because you're at what age when you go over there?
24.
So you start about 14 years of age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been playing.
Wow, that's enough to really rattle your cage.
It rattled my cage pretty good. But so let's just go back to one important part is right before I went to Switzerland, I ended up doing, I did 5.5 years at Florida State. So that half year meant that I had a whole spring semester and a summer before I went to Switzerland. So I went from partying like crazy at Florida State, but working hard with my classes, right, to get my degree, to not having school anymore and just having time.
The devil's workshop is a empty mind, or whatever they say, yeah.
So now I just live this lifestyle where, you know, went to football games, partied, played drinking games all the
sure.
time.
You're young and alive.
Now I didn't have anything to do, and I couldn't justify getting a job because— You know, I'm about to leave for Switzerland, so what do I got to do? So I had some money saved up still, and I just end up going to the bars. And so I end up in this friend group that all they do is drink and do cocaine and party and stay up late and go to the beach, and that's it. And so I lived that lifestyle.
Getting
for,
swallowed up in the darkness.
I got swallowed up. And unfortunately, along the way, I met a very beautiful girl.
Uh-huh.
And things got serious with her. She had a couple kids. And,
from
and,
you?
No. Oh. She had a couple kids already, okay. and I don't know, I just thought it was a great idea to, you know, get super involved with her. And when I had no business being involved with anybody, I'm about to leave the
maybe
country.
She represented stability somehow, being a mom, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Was she older than you, apparently, yes?
No, a little younger, actually.
A little younger, but yeah, with two children. A
couple years younger, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so she was only about, I think, maybe 22, 23.
Well, she started early.
She did, yeah. So now that's a huge part of it. So we actually were dating all the way up until I left, really. And then we stayed in touch even when I left. I told her, I was like, there's no way we should stay together. I'm going to Switzerland. Don't plan on coming back.
You're going to Switzerland. You mean you're going to USA?
No, remember, so this is, I went back before I left for Switzerland. So
oh, this is in America. I thought this was a girl you met in Switzerland.
No, so this is in America. So this is, that's what I said. I had to take a step back because a big part
I see.
Of it,
okay, yes. You dropped out of school because you got to wait a year and a half till you can go to school again.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly, because I graduated Florida
So
State.
Here's where you met the gal.
So this is where I met the girl.
And you tell her, don't expect me to come back?
I say, yeah, don't, like, we're probably not going to stay together. I'm about to leave. You know, what are we
How did she handle that?
Oh, she just convinced me that she would come. That she would come there, she would move there if we, you know, let's stay together, and yeah. just gave me hope that, you know,
yeah.
That things could actually work out that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the whole time I'm over there, she's very, like, very emotionally abusive with me and stuff through, like, texts and calls, and, like, instead of being, like, a sweet, you know, like, girlfriend, long-distance
relationship. Why would she be bitter?
I don't know. She's so, that was the thing.
In what way?
So even when I was here with her, she was... I had never been in a relationship like this where the girl was very, like, emotionally kind of toxic and, like, and would lie. And, I mean, there was thoughts of her still being with her ex at times, the father of her kids. But I just didn't care. You know, I didn't think I was that into
it. You're young and naive.
I had cheated
on her. She was not over him, no.
Totally not. And I mean, I had cheated on girls. And so, I mean, it just, I don't think I valued a monogamous relationship.
You're how old at this time? 18?
No, 23.
Oh, 23, okay.
This is right before I went to
college. So you are a young adult.
Right.
Purportedly.
Yeah, yeah.
Although the male's mind does not,
right.
is behind the female in time. Right. I think women mature at 18, men at 25.
I would believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now things are terrible.
Yeah.
It's very stressful. So now I'm in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Continuing a relationship with her from, you know, 6,000 miles long distance. And I find out her ex actually contacts me and tells me we're sleeping together still. Now, this just hit me, like, in a crazy way. I mean, it just totally wrecked
Especially,
me.
Especially, it's like a Dear John letter for somebody who's in the front line.
Yeah.
Could possibly be killed in it. Here you are in Switzerland trying to study this, and she breaks, essentially, a Dear John letter from her ex-husband. They're getting back together.
Right. So,
wow.
I mean, my...
You're already insecure.
Having
there's
a hard
nobody
time.
There. I know. Yeah, you're in a foreign land. It's scary.
And it wasn't my idea anyway. I was the one who said we shouldn't even stay together, but we did anyway. Yeah. And then just for this.
So she's kind of become a foundation for you.
Right. So now this is where it gets even worse. She was supposed to come visit me at Christmas time. So this is the 6 months in mark. She already had her plane ticket and everything.
Didn't come.
She comes.
Oh, she does. And does she know that you know that she's sleeping with him?
Yeah. So she convinces me, let me come anyway. I'm done. I broke it off with him. So me, just, you know, honestly, lonely and still,
course,
like,
I'm
alone over there, completely alone. Nope.
Yeah.
I lived with a couple American guys and a Polish guy, but we didn't
get... of an American and Polish guy. Sounds like a joke.
It was something. And we lived in this little, this beautiful, the professor had this, like, multi-million-dollar house on Montebre in Lugano, Switzerland, like this Ticino, this beautiful, overlooked the
Say
lake.
Say that word again.
Montebre.
And that's
Mount Bray.
Oh, cool.
Basically. So,
I like the way you say it. Yeah,
but he had this mother-in-law suite behind it that he sectioned off for his students, for his American students. Because he's a businessman, keep in mind, you know, and he's a professor. So his job is to make sure he has students.
Mm-hmm.
And so he lived in Daytona a couple months of the year. So that's how I met him and actually managed to have a relationship with him before, you know, trying to actually go over there and study with him. So anyway.
And relationship means friendship.
Yeah.
You got to watch out. They can be misconstrued.
Yeah. Well, we had to build a student-teacher relationship before, you know, before he wants me to come over there and I can show him that I can actually play
horn
a little bit.
What an opportunity.
It was great, you know. So, but anyway, so so she comes over and it was all, you know, rainbows and butterflies, really.
Because
she was pretty... She was pretty manipulative. She wanted to come to Switzerland and you know, have a sweet vacation. And I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy. So, I mean, I treated her, you know, well when she was over there and everything. And
happy to see a familiar face.
Right.
Even though a deceitful one.
Right. So, and I mean, I was no angel along the way either.
No.
But so, I mean, there's no reason for us to even have continued that on. It was a total fleshly.
Well, when we don't have our code built yet, established by the Lord above, and you didn't have the Lord at this time.
No, so I was
there
seeking,
is no code. You know.
I was just seeking that comfort and that and this like superficial love.
Sha-la-la, live for today.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, she goes back.
Yeah.
And then I'm faced with the decision with my jaw and everything that and my, you know, the muscles in my face that I'm gonna have to go back too. So I do. And I come back. Now I'm in the middle of the year.
You're in the United States.
I'm in the United States. I'm back in Florida. I move back to, I'm in Sebastian. I get a little place. I live with my mom for like 3 weeks while I try to find a place and get a car and everything like that.
That's where she is too, the girl.
She's in Sebastian, yep. And
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem. That day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow